But anyway, praise God. Yeah, it's good to be here this morning, isn't it? And great worship this morning. And I was just thinking back to last week, how different it was this week to last week. But you know, the team did an awesome job. We had no power, but we learned that we can live without power. We still had gas, and so we were able to have a cup of tea or coffee through the gas stove. But it was great to see the worship team up here singing and playing their guitars and things, and it takes us back to times when people may not have had electricity, but they soldiered on. And this morning I was greatly encouraged by the communion, as Noel spoke that wonderful word, and particularly about the tree. I thought I'm in the right place, because I love trees, and they do speak so much to us. And then in the worship, that's one of my very favourite songs, "Break My Heart, for what breaks yours, everything I am for your kingdom's cause, as I work from life to eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna." And that should be our heart's cry as we praise God, that we need to get into his mindset and his thought patterns. A couple of weeks ago I spoke to you about the miracle of the seed, and I spoke to you out of Matthew, and we spoke quite a bit about a seed. And in Matthew 13, verse 31, he told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." And so he told them about the mustard seed. And there we had a picture of that, and we saw how small the mustard seed was. Today I want to follow on from that message, and I want to talk about the importance of nurturing the seed. You see, God create. We know that we were formed in God's image, and the first man was formed out of the dust, and the woman fashioned out of his rib. But from then it's seed time and harvest. And so we see that there are many seeds that God talks about. And you know, 250 times in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the seed is spoken about. And there, as I've done this study, I had to really contain myself, because it's just a smorgasbord and there is just so much, and I'm sure God will permit me to speak about that again another time. But there's a natural grass seed, there's a natural fruit seed, there's the seed of a man and a woman, which is their offspring. The word of God is a seed, and the seed of our mouth is your word. And they're just to some of them that I want to talk about, and talk about how we nurture the seeds that God has given us. And God is very precious about his seeds. He's very precious about how we deal with his seeds, what we do with them. And the definition of nurturing, as we know, is to care for, to love, to tenderly watch over, but encourage. And we know that it's very important today that we live in a world that we learn about encouragement, and not just encouragement to one another. I need to, by the Spirit of God, encourage myself. And sometimes we forget that. We're so busy encouraging everybody else, we forget to encourage me. And do you know, I am important. I may not be important to you, but I am important to my Heavenly Father. I'm important to my husband, to my children and my grandchildren. And I have many friends that I'm sure I'm important to. And you see, it isn't this physical person of Pat Tipping that can get out of control and blow out in all weights and sizes. It is the heart of the person, the seed of the person that God has sown into this Patricia Tipping to make me explode and grow into his fullness and his grace. And that is what makes me important. And so we see that the greatest nurturer is our Father God. And the heart of God is to nurture, because God is the vine dresser who devotedly tends to the vineyards. He's a physician who tenderly nurtures and nurses his patients, and he's a parent who lovingly teaches his children to walk. And so we have all the nurturing that we need if we look to God. But we know that we have to seek God to have that nurturing, whether it's from God, which is most important, or from one another. It is a choice we make. You know, I hear people say to me on different things, it can be many, many and varied different things. It can be spiritual, it can be natural. Well, I don't know yet, I'm just waiting. But you know, when you're waiting, you're still making a choice. You are choosing to wait. And sometimes when we stay in this stagnated place, we're making a very bad choice. Whether we've decided where we're going or what we're doing, we need to, and that's all part of the nurture of God, to be in a place where we're making a decision that we're looking towards the best choice. Choice is a very powerful thing, and I've spoken about that before. And you see, we're making choices all the time. Often we make them unthinkingly, but we need to be, as we're growing in God, understanding that we live in a life where we need to be making choices, and our choices matter. They matter to me, to you, but they matter to others. Every choice we make. And so things have to move or they become stagnated. If water doesn't move, it becomes stagnated. If I don't grow, I become stagnated. If this body and these legs don't move, they become stiff and I lose the power. And we can lose things very, very quickly. Whereas God's desire with us and nurturing us is that we are growing and moving. You see, a seed is planted in the ground. It is put into the soil so that it will germinate. God has placed his spirit in us that we might germinate, that his spirit might germinate in us and grow. If a seed is just thrown on top of the ground, it just lies there and it will die. And we know that Jesus also spoke about the sower who went out and threw the seed, and some went on stony ground and rocky ground and some on hard ground. And so we know that the seed that laid on the hard ground, it was because the ground wasn't watered. The ground needs to be watered to receive the seed, and that's the nurturing. And so our lives and our spirits need to be watered. And you see, we can't just stand here and say, water me, God. We need to seek that. We need to be actively choosing to do something to have that come into our lives. Now, we know very well, Paul speaks a lot in Ephesians about nurturing, but I just want to read a scripture that is a precious one to me. And it says, I pray that you, it's from Ephesians 3:17, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how deep the love of Christ is, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Beautiful scripture, beautiful promise. But how do we achieve that? What does Paul say? He says, I pray that you, being rooted, that you would choose to be rooted. That is your choice, that your roots go down. That is your choice to seek after the water, the free flowing water of the Spirit of God, that you might grow. And he says, I pray that you might grasp this. And that's my heart today, that you will grasp what it means to be nurtured and then to nurture. You know, we've been called to grow and to sow. And if I don't grasp the reality of his sowing and his nurturing in my life, how can I possibly nurture and grow anybody else? We can only give what we have. And if we haven't got, we're empty and we have nothing to give. Now, we can say a lot of words. We can stand here this morning and sing those beautiful choruses, but you see, they're the word of God. And when I sing that, break my heart, I mean that. Lord, take me to that place you want me to be. Help me to see what you want me to see. Like Noel shared this morning, that pastor, God said to him, stop and look. If God says stop and look, look. And look with his eyes that he might show you what he wants you to see. It might be a tree you've passed by 100 times, but God is wanting to teach you a very important lesson as you look at that thing. And sometimes God will say stop, sometimes he says go. Whatever God says, we need to move in that. And you know, it's very important we understand as we look at nurturing that We have an enemy, and we have a theme this year called To War. And as Pastor Chris takes us further on through that, we will understand more about what it means. And the scripture says that he trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war. And that's that we lift our hands in prayer, but also in praise, and that we're open to receive from God all he wants to give us. Because, you know, we have an enemy. We have an enemy, and is it any surprise to you that Satan dominates the airwaves of the television? And we're finding even more now that the things that God has allowed man to find, to create, that are beneficial to us, if our heart's not in the right place, those things take over and we get swallowed up with it, and that takes the place of God. We need to be rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. And you see, the seed has to be rooted and grounded so that it'll grow. I've said to you many times that I love when I go up to the Murray River and see these trees, and even as John and I went up to Port Ferry earlier this year, the beginning of this year, and just see the knotted and gnarled trunks of some of them and how their roots will just do anything, because they have one purpose, and that is to reach the water, because they know their life strength is in that. And that's how God wants us to be. And sometimes, you know, I look at people, friends and loved ones of mine, and while in the natural they look okay, but in knowing their lives and sharing with them, I see those knots and nails in their life of pain and difficulty. But the beauty is that I see that through that, they keep pushing down into the roots. And so those knots and those nails and things in their life and those disappointments and heartaches become things of beauty that only our Creator could perform. In the natural, they can look ugly, but taken in the hand of the one who paints and sketches and draws everything in this whole creation of ours, they become things of beauty. And so we know that we need to be focused and have our roots firmly planted down deep into God. And we know that even today, as I said, children, and, you know, my younger grandchildren have them, all these, you know, things. I always call them wrong. My elder grandchildren are always correcting me. I call an iPod an iPad and another box something else. But you know what I mean, particularly if you've got children or grandchildren. And they're there, and they're finding out now. And I've done, as I've shared with you before, been doing a lot of study over this last 2 years, and particularly study is psychology, but also things about the brain and how much we're learning that these things are damaging to a child's brain. When they, children listen, when they hit on them all the time. Those things are wonderful. They're a great advance that God's given us, and you can learn much with them, but they have a place. And they're not to be the whole, they're to be part. And yet we get caught up, and you see, once we start to focus wholeheartedly on these things, guess what? They're what nurtures us. They are what nurtures us. Everything is there for us to enjoy, but not to be the whole. God must be the whole. He is the one. And so we see that the enemy is in to distract us and to discourage us. And if you've got a problem drawing to anything you like to mention, smoking, drinking, television, gambling that the world catches on to, all these things, none of these things will fix the problem. They might distract you and make you feel a little bit better for a moment. Sport, all these things. You know, I love my car, the ad says, and you can get in your car and burn around. But that only lasts so long. It is only the Spirit of God, as we seek him, that can touch that area. And also bring us to the place of standing quietly and allowing God's wisdom to come in so that we make the right choice. Otherwise, we become distracted and we make the wrong choice. So we know that Satan is hard at work because he doesn't want us to bear spiritual fruit. And that's what God's nurturing is about, people. He's about nurturing us and cultivating us and teaching us to grow deep into him, that we will produce spiritual fruit. Amen. What are you producing today? What's the great... And you know, the Word of God tells us clearly, whatever you focus on, that will be the fruit you produce. Whatever is your heart's desire, because it says that out of the thoughts of our thoughts of our heart are the things that we live by. And so we need to be very mindful. Things are there, as I said, to enjoy, but our focus and our heart and our roots need to be set in Him, because then we will produce the spiritual fruit. And you know, it's wonderful on a hot day, isn't it, to grab a piece of watermelon out of a fridge and just suck on it. Or as my husband loves to devour grapes and things like that that are very cold, and they help to quench your thirst. And you see, when people are dry and thirsty, they need to come and feed off our fruit. And we need to have an abundance, and it needs to be ready so that we can nurture those people. The other thing I want to say that is the greatest lie of the enemy is that we have a choice, and that is to choose God first and foremost. And as we do, that depicts and leads our life. You know, in a garden, a tree never moves itself. A plant never moves from where it is. It is content to be where it is unless the gardener moves it. And yet you see people, and I feel it's because often they're not grounded, for any number of reasons, may get upset or get discouraged or whatever, and so they move. And not only from a church which can break the body's heart, but they can move from God. Yes, I'm still saved, but I don't like the way that's going anymore. And so then they become separate. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants discouragement. He wants to distract people. And he wants to change us from producing the spiritual fruit and the harvest that God has called us to do. Now, we know with the seed in God that every seed comes after its own kind. And so we know that apples produce apples, apple seeds, oranges, oranges, cats, cats, dogs, dogs. Oranges don't produce dogs, and dogs don't produce grapes. And so we need to know that we're going to produce after our own kind. We are going to produce. Now, in the natural, of course, we don't bear cats and dogs. We bear sons and daughters, girls and boys. And that's wonderful, and they bring us much joy. But then in having that, what fruit do we produce in them? And so it is, I have never wanted my children just to grow up to be like me. I wanted them to grow up and be like the Christ in me. And that is what the seed that we need to be sowing, and from very early. And it's never too late. It is never ever too late to start. Because once we take that place and we move into that obedient place, allow the Spirit of God to nurture us, allow our roots to go down and start to see that we're flourishing and growing and producing, then that will just automatically flow out of us to our children and our grandchildren, our loved ones, to whoever. And the other thing I want to say to you is that don't be discouraged, because the Word of God says that the Word of God is powerful and that His Word never returns void. And so when we speak the Word of God, the Word of truth, into our family's life, we don't see things often for a long time, but it's there. And God will call it to life. God will call it to life. He will bring those. And I really want to encourage you. It is truth. And again, as I said, we want it now. We want the instant tea, we want the instant coffee. We all had a fit when the lights were off last week because we're so used to flicking the switch and having everything. Well, you see, God showed us we can still go on. God is showing us that when we not only speak, words can be vain unless they're God's words, unless they're rooted in our hearts. But if we live that word, if I believe that word, if I reveal that word in everything that I do, if that fruit is growing in my life and I impart it to somebody else, it will flourish. It will flourish. I'm not going to go into the story, but even in this last couple of weeks, God has shown me that literally with someone I have prayed for and spoken to, there's been total rejection, and now I'm seeing after 45 years, things are turning. We're not there yet, but it's nearly there. And so we need to be looking with a heart of hope. You see, when we put a seed in the ground, the farmer doesn't say, oh, there's the field that I'm hoping is going to be wheat. He says, there's the wheat field. There's the corn field. He just expects that's what it'll be. When we go, ladies, to the doctor and the doctor says we're pregnant, years ago, we didn't have all the scans and things. You just took the doctor's word and other things. So you immediately expected that's what was happening before you could see it. In fact, often the doctor knew before you did. And so we have to understand that when we know we've sown a seed, or when we're firmly planted, we know that God's going to grow in us. So when we sow a seed into someone's life, we need to start praying and seeing the fruit. See, we watch the plant and we stand there waiting, waiting. As I said when I spoke the other week, you know, our children, I'm sure yours all did it, they used to love part of their school things, but we'd get cotton wool and put the seeds in it and carrot tops or seeds and wheat and put it on the windowsill. And I remember Ross, he'd be forever standing there watching, waiting. This was the farmer that's in him now. And it was like he was waiting for his crop. And he used to get so despondent. And when there'd be a tiny little shoot, oh, he'd imagine he'd be eating a carrot the next day. And so, you see, we used to laugh at that. But you see, really, that's the truth. When we put it there, we're not to watch it, but we're to believe that we have it. If we've sown faithfully, if we've nurtured that, if we've nurtured it by what? Prayer. By reading the word, by trusting God, and by lovingly giving that word in love and following that word by relationship and encouragement, we must believe then, I'm not going to live by what I see or what I hear, I'm going to live by faith to see. And just at that point, I want to say to you, it's very important that I can do anything. I can do anything, the Lord says. But we have to understand sometimes we put pressure on ourselves. That means we can go out and do everything. Well, I can't. But I need to know, like God said to Joshua, every place on which your foot shall tread, I've given it to you. But he showed in the borders. So wherever it is that God leads me to walk or to minister, he's given that to me. He's given me my life, he's given me my family and those around. And within the areas, he doesn't say to me, go out and fly a plane, because I know I can't. There are many things that I can't do, and even in the natural, there are many things that I can't do. I'll encourage others to do it and I'll have a go, but that may not. We've got to know where God has called us, and then in that place to know that I can claim it and I can do anything. And that can be in the sphere of influence with our family, with our friends and everyone else. And so we have to see those things, that our seed is our word. And we need to be speaking truth and power. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, I love this. Paul says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God. And so we've all been bought with a price. And with that wonderful price, the Lord himself has brought us into his field, which is the incorruptible seed, to grow and cultivate and bring forth fruit to glorify God. Christians are God's farm. We're his farm. He's a husbandman. We are his field, his garden, and the field belongs to the owner. And no owner of a field would harm their field. They love their field. They get caught up with what they sow and what they grow. And so God loves us. So we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. So this seed that has been sown in us belongs to God, and he will call it forth. And so we need to know that as we sow it, it will be called forth. It's called, in 1 Peter 1:23, it's called an incorruptible seed. So God wants his word to be planted. David cried out to God, all your work is done in faithfulness. David saw God sowing into his life and he wanted to obey him and serve him with all of his heart. We should know the promises of God. But you see, if we're not allowing the Spirit of God to nurture us, as I said, and that's where we see this soil with it, that the seed was scattered on the soil and it was hard. If we're not soft and supple and we're not ready for the things of God to sow in, we'll become hard. Difficulties come into our life. pain, disappointments, sickness, failure, people letting us down, all sorts of things. And you see, if we're not allowing the Spirit of God to water us frequently, all the time, and we're not in God's presence seeking Him, yes, crying out with all that pain, telling God how we feel, allowing Him to heal us, we'll become hard. The soil became hard because it wasn't watered. And so then nothing grows. We become, maybe only for a time, but I don't want to do that, even for a time. How much are you watering? How much are you allowing the Spirit of God to keep you supple and open? God loves to hear you cry. There's no way, no good us going out and bashing our head against a brick wall. Things happen that are unfair. Things happen that are tragic. Things happen that are difficult. But God is our counsellor and our comforter. He's given the Holy Spirit to bring us comfort, and not only that, to show us a way out. There is always a way out, but we need God's wisdom, because if the soil gets hard and we become hard because of lack of nurture, because of lack of watering, we then go off ad hoc and we make all sorts of decisions, and they're not always the best decisions. I know I've done them. But when we trust in Him, He leads us and says, well, okay, that happened, but I have a better way. I will show you where to go and how to work. And of course, it takes time, and every decision we make has a consequence. And so we need to deal with those things as well. But God's desire is to move us forward and to keep us growing. And so God is saying to us, what place has His word, this seed, in our lives? Now we see with the mustard seed, it wasn't the tiniest seed. There were other tiny seeds, but that seed was one that the people of that time understood. And I believe that what the Lord was showing, many things out of that. And so He showed, the next picture, please, Matthew. God said, you see just the seed, but I see the tree. God already sees the fulfillment of that seed, and that's what we need to, by faith, see in ourselves and in those that we planted. Now, you see, the next slide. This mustard seed grows. Now it's a tiny seed and it can grow to a million times its size. And so the seed of life that you speak into a person's life can spread far and wide and reach millions of people. When it gravitates, when it germinates, when it takes hold, it can produce the crop, the harvest that God desires. But you see, back to the tree, some scripture says bush, some says tree. I don't care. It's a huge, big thing. And so, as we'll see, but I believe God's showing us another point. Of course, He's showing us about the evangelistic side of it spreading, but I believe Jesus speaking about Himself. Was He not seen as small? Was He not seen as unimportant? Was He rejected? Did the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all of those, and the rulers and the great people turn away and think, and then they wanted to destroy Him? And you see what happened? He grew because He'd come to sow the seed of life into this broken world. And He was rejected and He was despised, but He continued to move forward and grow and to sow. And so I believe there is so much in that. Now, next slide, thank you. And I got this picture because the mustard tree or bush takes many shapes. Some of them are very tall like that one, and others spread. In fact, I read somewhere that they call them quite unruly if you look at them in the natural, because they sort of do their own thing. And so, but really, it's not unruly, because we're all created to do and grow in different ways. But the important thing is we're created to grow. But you see, what I see from this one, the other one was tall and strong, and it certainly had wonderful branches to give shade to birds and to weary travellers as they went along. And that's what we're to do, to feed others. But this one, I mean, you'd have to really get underneath its branches. My granddaughter would love that. She'd make a cubby house in there. But it's really showing us how it spreads out. and how this tiny seed can spread and how we can spread, the word of God can spread and move out. And I mean, I couldn't fit it all on there, but it goes down further and then it reaches out to another one and there they are. But it's quite tall compared to that man. You can leave that one there. Thanks, Matthew. And so we see that a kernel of wheat in time covers a continent and feeds a nation. One tiny little kernel of wheat. But the farmer sows it in confidence that it will produce. And the result of cultivating and growing this incorruptible seed are much greater and more desirable than any harvest of a material seed, because the heavens are higher than the earth, and only the imperishable seed can bring about an imperishable result. As we nurture in God, we will bring an imperishable result. All seeds and plants are in God's garden, as I said, and need watering. We need to water. We need to sow and we need to water. How do we nurture and water this seed? Well, of course, one way is to pray over God's word. But firstly, we need to read the word. We need to read the word. And again, as I said before, we need to absorb the word. It's okay to sit down and just say, I've done my Bible reading, I've read three verses today. But how much of it have you meditated on? How much of it has gone in? See, that's the secret. That's the watering. It's not what you read. It's what you allow to penetrate. It's what you receive, what you believe, what you allow to take root within your life. And once you do that, it will never go. You'll forget it if you just read. But if you meditate, if you ask God to give you the understanding of that word, and that's where it's great having our grow groups and our study groups and things that we can learn together. But we need to read the Bible, and it's not about how much we read, it's how much we take in. It's how much we meditate on, how much becomes part of our life. And so that's how we water. And of course, we know too that we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be in the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God will take that word and make it alive to us. And that is watering, that is nurturing. Now, yesterday I had a wonderful, wonderful day. Kayleen and I, with Hayden, who wasn't well and yet he broke through to come, we went down to Ben Wearan. And that's a precious place to me, because that's a place where I was very much nurtured and taught and loved in my early, very early Christian life. And to be able to take Kayleen, my daughter, and my grandson, Hayden went down there to do some filming for our women's conference, because we give a percentage of what we take to Ben Wearan. It's a tremendous work down there. But to be down there, and also at this time with this message, to bring memories, to sit and talk to some of the women. But the beauty of the place, to see God's creation and these beautiful trees, it is just so restful. And of course, Dawn, who runs it now, Olive's daughter, she's always saying to me, oh, look, bring your caravan down for a week. I can't do that, because I wouldn't want to come back. I just love it. I could just get lost there. Because, you see, and I say this humbly but truthfully, that's the fruit, that's a gift that God's given me. If there are women there, I was right in there with these women and ministering. It's just who I am. And so that's wonderful. You can say, well, why can't you? But I know that's not God's call on my life at this time. I've asked God many times over the past years, not now, please, Lord, let me go to Ben Wearan. That was my heart's desire, to go down there and take that work over when Olive passed away. But God said no. So we have to settle that, and we need to grow in the garden where we are. I still have connections. I pray for that work, and I send people down there, and often people, Dawn rings me and someone might be in this area, and I minister to them when they come home. And so there is an interconnection. But down there yesterday, I thought, oh, I could easily fit in here. But you see, I wouldn't want to come back. So we have to really know what God's call is on our life. And I know that. I know that. That I've had my time with that and spent a lot of time down there. But now there are other fields. But you see, I didn't leave. God moved me. I'd never lived down there, but I spent more and more and more time. But God showed very clearly this is where we were to be, doing what we're doing now. And so we have to know those things. And also then, when we know what it means to be fully nurtured and that we are fully growing, we need to know how to nurture others. And as I said, that is by sharing or allowing them to feed from the fruit of our lives. It's about loving them. It's about caring for them. It's about spending time with people. The program for nurture is discipleship, equipping, teaching, preaching, and exhorting. And that is not to be done like a strict lesson. That's out of your life. I hear a lot of talk today of the modern word mentoring. Well, I don't like mentoring. The Word of God tells me it's discipleship. It is making disciples. It is getting alongside someone. And as I said before, it's allowing people to lean on you. It's bearing and sharing and lean until they can stand on their own feet. It's about speaking into their lives. It's about encouraging them, equipping them, teaching them, gently teaching them, always being available. The process for nurture is lifelong. And you see, I've heard people say to me, oh no, I go out and I'm an evangelist and I bring them the word and then I walk away and leave them. No, that's not true. It doesn't mean that we are to be the full nurturer if you've called to be an evangelist, but you need to see that person safely tucked in somewhere where someone's going to be able to look after them. Now, it may be that you meet someone on a station and you talk and you share the word of God. Well, you need to get an address and keep contact. We can't just do these things quickly like that. And also the process is a developmental thing. It's relational, and relationships take time, but that's nurturing. It takes time and to be available. And there are many times when something comes up and I think, oh, I'd rather sit in my chair. I'd rather sit down and watch a good movie or do something. But you see, when the call of God and when this seed of God is firmly implanted in your life, there becomes no choice. The flesh might say that, but straight away the spirit. And you see, once you get up and go, there's an excitement because you're fulfilling the will of God. Break my heart with what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause as I walk through this life. And also, the product is discernment, understanding what God is speaking to us and what is best for that person, seeing in that person what they need, not just what they say. It's about growth and it's about a greater knowledge of God, because as we give, we learn. You know, I used to love when I was younger teaching Sunday school because I learned so much. When you're preparing a lesson for children or if you're preparing for a study, you learn so much because you've got to do a little bit more than everybody else, so you've got some of the answers. We don't always have all of them, but we study to grow. And multiplication comes from a product of nurture. And so when we as a church take this committed, consistent and balanced approach, providing opportunities for people, they will grow. And as a church, we do that. We have many things that cover. But you see, it's up to you to take hold of those things. We can't put legs on you. You can't bring you here. We can provide it, but you need to avail yourself. And to me, if there's something on, there is nothing on television that could better that. Nothing. That's all fake fantasy stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. It's nice to sit and watch a good movie. There could be, and there's some wonderful Christian movies around, and I love to go. But they don't take precedence over other things. And God allows time for all things if our life is in order. He gives us time for fun and relaxation, but he still needs to be foremost within our hearts. Plant a word in a mind and you will reap a soul. Plant an act and you will reap a habit. Plant a habit and you will reap character. Plant a character and you will reap nature. Plant a nature and you will reap destiny. So it's as you plant, you will reap. And as you reap, you will grow. As others will grow. By nurturing and washing, we grow and others grow. In Psalm 19:7, it says, "The law of the Lord, God's word, is perfect and coveting the soul." It is perfect. By nurturing and watering the seed of God, God's word is received to us, and we will be transformed into the image of Christ. And that is God's will. And as we are transformed, you know, what we have to grasp hold of is that when we walk and when we talk, we don't have to Bible bash people. There is something seen in our lives. We can't see it, but others see it. We are different. We are a peculiar people. And people see a difference in us. And they may not straight away ask, but then one day they may. Or they will listen to the words we speak because they sound soft to them. They sound gentle. They sound different to the words that they hear out there in the world. And we need to walk around knowing that as we've nurtured, as we've allowed this spirit to take this word deep into our hearts, and as we are growing and flourishing, as we hear, doesn't something beautiful take your attention or something different? And if you're out looking, doesn't a beautiful, magnificent tree that's flourishing take your attention? And you look at it. And that's how we appear to people. They mightn't put it in those words, but they know that we are different. And they will look and they will want to know. God's design and purpose for his seed as it would grow. Ultimately and corporately, we will then become the church that God desires us to be. And it's not that we ever arrive, but we are continuing to grow into that likeness, into that walking together. And you see, God has sown us together as a body. And all about nurturing is we are the body of Christ. And we are all different members, but we make up one part. And we nurture one another. Just by being here today, we encourage one another with a word, with a smile, with praying for one another, whatever we do. And so, you know, God wants us to spread out. And in doing so, we have to remember our families. That we want to see, it said about, "I see a generation." We want our generations, don't we? We need to be standing in that nurtured position, empowered by the Holy Spirit, knowing this seed is growing within us and it will flourish out to our generations. We want our generations. When we were at Ben Wearin yesterday, Carolyn and I met this lovely lady that was there 5 years ago, an absolutely broken soul. And I can share this because she speaks on the video. Absolutely an amazing testimony, which is hers to tell. Her and her partner then were into all sorts of unhappy things. And they had these lovely children that they could hardly look after. And she went to Ben Wearin, and at the end, like I was, for different reasons, and she was nurtured and loved and restored. And then over time, she gave her heart to the Lord. Her partner got saved. They got married. And you want to meet her children. Talk about seeds of joy and nurturing. They are just beautiful. And they share very quickly. They're only young, about the things of God. And this girl just oozes. So that anybody would meet her, you could think, well, what's different about this girl? What a testimony. And that's God. And so God can turn anything around. But you see, as I said before, the plant doesn't move, the gardener moves it. Allow God to show you you're planted where he wants you to be, and allow him to allow you to flourish and grow into all the fullness of his grace, being rooted and grounded in his love, flourishing, knowing his power at work within you, and knowing that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to his power at work within you, where you are for his purpose. Father, I thank you and praise you for your word today. I just pray, Father, that whatever I have said, Lord, would just be washed away, but only your word and the truth of your word, the empowering of your word, Lord God, would sow into the hearts of those whose hearts are open, ready to receive, because that is a choice, Lord, that we open our heart to receive your word. We open our hearts, Lord, that your word might be taken into our spirits, Lord God, and that it would flourish and grow as you desire it. Father, may we be a people who ever grow, who ever move forward like that army, Lord God, and taking every thought captive, taking every negative thing captive to the power of your spirit and moving forward in your victory and in your grace, seeing and redeeming the time, Lord God, when we will see all things in your hand. And Father, this morning I just pray for those who are hurting this morning because of broken relationships, husbands and wives, mothers and children, fathers and sons, whoever, Lord, and others, Lord, that have other disappointments, Father, because this morning as I came in, I sensed a feeling of disappointment and sadness. And I thank you, Father, that those who feel that have come, Lord God, they've come to the font of life. They've come into your house, Lord, to be refurbished, Lord, to be restored, to be encouraged, Lord God, by your word. And I pray, Father, that your spirit would use your word, take your word and implant it in their heart to give them hope, Lord, to show them that there is life in a seed, that when a seed is planted in the ground, the outer shell must break away and then the embryo comes forth and grows. And Father, your word is like that. When our hearts are melted by your spirit, your word goes deep and brings forth all that you have called it to do. So we just bless you this morning, Father, and I pray that you would bless each one in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.